Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, welcome to Red Men News. It's me, it's Steve Hoare, and we're here with your dose of daily news. And we are back today by The Athletic, the home of football writing. They've partnered up with us. We're really proud to have them on board because we truly believe in their content. There's no ads, no annoying pop-ups, anything like that. If you want 50% off your yearly subscription, go to www.theathletic.co.uk/redmennews. As you know, they've got some belter writers over there. James Pearce and Simon Hughes are the two Liverpool guys. We're going to actually start with a James Pearce article today, and it was something that they broke at The Athletic, Steve, and it was broken over the weekend. It was that Liverpool are facing Carabao Cup expulsion after concerns over Kiravaya eligibility. Now, it's not quite as serious as that. Its precedent has been set with Sunderland back in 2014, but The Athletic can exclusively reveal the EFL have launched an investigation after it emerged Pedro Kiravaya came off the bench in last Wednesday's 2-0 win, having not featured in the first team for 3 years, was not did not satisfy the registration criteria to feature in the competition. It is understood the administrative issues with the FA concern the Spaniard's international transfer certificate, the ITC. Liverpool could not receive it without the FA's intervention, which was requested back in July. Steve, this is mad. I mean, imagine getting kicked out of the Carabao Cup because of Pedro Kiravaya.
Great. Maybe that's the plan. Just burn this off. It's odd. We've had this before. Remember the Joel Matip Cameroon wasn't allowed to play for us type thing? I'm very surprised that Liverpool got to this situation, actually, because with Matip, he hadn't actually done much wrong, but Liverpool was scared that if they picked him, and then it turned out he was ineligible, it was going to cause them issues. So we never had him for a while, remember?
Yeah, it was a couple
of years. AFCON in January. I'm surprised Liverpool, if there was any doubt at all, because with all due respect to Pedro Chiavella, Liverpool didn't need to pick Pedro Chiavella against, because he could have brought any young midfielder on. You know, he could have picked anyone from the youth team on the bench. So
it's clearly an oversight.
Yeah,
then.
It's even oversight. Someone's dropped the ball somewhere, haven't they? It's a bit mad. Like, listen, I imagine if they do get found guilty, like you say, Sunderland got fined when it happened to them a couple of years ago. It's quite odd for Liverpool because Liverpool, again, they were overcautious with Matip, so then for this one to fall through the cracks again, knowing that they had to do a special request for this certificate a couple of months ago, I'm surprised they again even took the risk. Again, it isn't like you've picked Sadio Mane to play against, you know, Barcelona, and you picked Pedro Chiavella to play MK Dons. Like, why was he there if there was any doubt whatsoever? It seems quite odd.
Yeah, and yet another story broken by James Pearce at The Athletic. Straight after, it was a contract the other week, was the last one that they broke as well. It's going to go with something a little bit different. Red Bull Salzburg's official website, they've had interviews with a lot of the players and the manager of Red Bull Salzburg ahead of our Champions League tie. Now, I've got something highlighted. It's quite far down. They talk to them about a load of different things, how to conquer nerves on the pitch and how to use mental tricks. But one of the things that I find really interesting, other than like the tactical stuff, is how to deal with Liverpool's Anfield. And the manager says it really well, and I've got it highlighted here. So this is talking about how to deal with the power of Anfield. There's nothing you can really do to prepare for these special environments. It's so powerful. I try to tell the team in moments like this, don't fear it, love it. Love that you're in that environment, enjoy it. The more negativity comes at you, feed off it. Fearlessness is always a key element for success in professional sports. The one nice thing about coaching young players is that they're inherently fearless. One of our strengths is our youthfulness and our naivety, but we're going to find a way to use that as an advantage. It's a really interesting article. Actually, do go over it and check it out. I mean, we've seen so many teams falter under the lights at Anfield, certainly in the Champions League, most recently our last Champions League home game against Barcelona. Do you think Salzburg will be able to sort of harness it? And does it really exist for the group games?
Yeah, it could do, I don't know. It probably won't be as much. I've heard other players come on, and I know, again, there'll be people watching now who will remember the likes of Leroy Sané and stuff saying, oh, it won't bother us. And only players, oh, it's only a game, it's only a place. And that's nonsense. Like, it does affect teams. And every time I see a manager, an opposition manager, player bringer up saying, you know, doesn't bother us. We're not going to let it. I'm just like, yeah, absolutely fine.
Bring it on.
This fella's gone the other way. He's gone, listen, there's nothing we can do about it. We've just got to cope. It isn't nothing. It is a thing. Let's acknowledge it exists and work our way through it. It's an interesting approach. I've read this myself, actually. It's a really good piece, again, on the Salzburg website. Red Bull have got some good people over there doing some content and stuff. It's very interesting. Like, they talk about the dealing tactically. How do you deal with Salah and Mane? It's a good piece. I thought that was a really interesting quote in that. A lot of managers will try to play things down. And sometimes, football players aren't stupid. They know when their managers tell them porky pies. You know what I mean? Like, oh, don't worry about that. We'll do our game. No. He's fully embraced it. And he's probably worked on it with his team and gone, actually, if it's a close game, Anfield, this might happen. It might get raucous. You're going to have to, here's how we're going to deal with it. Whether it's, you know, slow the game down, a little injury, a little drink here and there, do something to chill it out. It's actually very, very clever management, I think.
Yeah, I know it is. And another one that's broken, which is the title of the video, actually, Erling Haaland, Alfie Inge Haaland's son, isn't it?
It is.
Could miss Red Bull Salzburg versus Liverpool match due to an illness. This is the guy who scored a hat-trick last time out in the Champions League as they beat Genk 6-2. And the injury update is he's sick, and we don't quite know when he will be back, hopefully over the next few days. That was Salzburg's sporting director. The next 2 days are important. He is checked by a doctor every day. And this is pretty much one of their most outstanding talents, isn't it? So this could be good for Liverpool. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, Steve, we're a couple of days out from this Champions League game now. Liverpool need to go and produce in this game. You know, we got through on our home form last time out. We lost against Napoli away in the Champions League. And it's time to put that right, isn't it, and get 3 points and get our Champions League defence underway.
It's never a bad thing when the other team are missing a guy who scored 17 goals in 10. You know, if he's got the flu or something, and never mind. Hopefully he gets better on Thursday. But I imagine Liverpool will prepare for the fact that he's going to be there. Mm. And then if he's not, it's kind of like an added bonus, isn't it? And you're right, what you say is that having lost in Naples, this is a game Liverpool need to win. The group look, again, I recorded the build-up for the show, which I imagine going out in the next day or so, is that if you win this, and then hopefully you get Genk back-to-back and can win that twice,
you're
on 9 points and everything's rosy. You know, everything's fine. If Salzburg come and give you a bloody nose, and all of a sudden you're third in the group, and you've only got one or no points, all of a sudden the clock's ticking, isn't it? You've only got four games left. And
the pressure gets cranked up exactly, as well in those games against Genk. And we saw last time out, we spoke last year about, you know, those two games against Belgrade being the one. We go out there, did we beat Belgrade 4-0 in the home leg?
Yeah.
And then we lost 2-0 away from home. And there was a lot of pressure put on those games because of that. And I don't know whether we coasted into the second game thinking, well, we've just done these 4-0 last time out, but we didn't kick on. They came and their atmosphere was absolutely incredible. So there's things that we can look at last season to go, like, we need to take these games seriously, and this is where it starts. A little injury update ahead of the next game anyway. Alisson looked like he was going to return to full training yesterday, Sunday the 29th of September. We've got a little something about Alisson highlighted. Liverpool were set to make a final decision over goalkeeper Alisson Becker ahead of a possible return to train on Sunday the 29th of September. Brazilian is unlikely to return to action until after October's international break, with Jürgen Klopp in no rush to risk his number one goalkeeper. And that really stays all down to the form of one Adrian San Miguel, isn't it?
It is, mate. Yeah, if things had gone badly with Adrian, you would be taking risks on Alisson, wouldn't you? If he was like 90%, you'd be thinking, let's get him in for Leicester. You'd probably leave him out Wednesday and then let's get him back for Leicester. No need, you know what I mean? As it is, Adrian hasn't lost a game in terms of in the league and stuff, so it makes sense. Why risk him? Just get him fit, and then obviously it's the international break. I imagine he won't go away with Brazil, and then get him fit and firing for United away, which is a big game for him to come back into. So, to be fair, the medical staff have done really well there. I mean, the initial reports weren't great. I didn't think when he first went, I thought, geez, that could be a season one. Thankfully, it's been treated better, and like I say, Liverpool have coped well in his absence.
Jadon Sakiri suffered a calf tear in training last week ahead of the clash with MK Dons. We don't know how long he's going to be out, but it looked like it was just a little tear, according to Pep Linders. We need to wait a couple of days, but for sure he's not in contention for tomorrow. That was last week. He needs some rest, so he'll not be involved. Nathaniel Klein looks like he's going to be out for a long time, which I think we already knew. That was the cruciate ligament injury in pre-season. Paul Glatzel's exactly the same. It looks like Paul Glatzel will miss the entire season. season, something that we knew a while ago, but it's up there, so we thought we'd bring it back to you. Little one about Kenny Dalglish talking about Steven Gerrard can be next. I think last week, Jurgen Klopp spoke about how it could be Kenny or Steven Gerrard. I wasn't feeling the Kenny links, if I'm honest. No. Like, you know, absolute hero, legend, unbelievable player and manager for Liverpool and person.
He's all right where he is.
He's sound.
He's boxed off.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He's sound, just looking out and seeing his name above that centenary stand.
If he comes back and does crap, would he take the name off? That's the problem he's got, isn't he? Mm. You can't have to say, if, you know, if he comes 16th, we can't have the Kenny Dalglish stand, can we? So.
No, but I mean, I find it interesting. I'd like to do a bit more in-depth on the Steven Gerrard stuff, because I think, you know, Pep Linders obviously takes the press conference last week and he comes across like a fella who knows exactly what he's doing. Now, I was having a really interesting conversation with Dave Maddock last week about Pep, and he felt that Pep is one of those guys who implicitly understands the analytics side of things. And
ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I have to take words out of his mouth, but I'm absolutely taking words out of his mouth. He was a little unsure whether Steven Gerrard was that type of a manager, to be honest with you. Where do you stand on it, looking forwards?
I would imagine when Klopp goes, Gerrard's next. I think that's the reason he's in Rangers now. You know, and I think that's the reason why he turns Newcastle down, doesn't he? Probably didn't want to manage against Liverpool in the Premier League. In case, you know, goes badly, then what you do? I think he's there. I think he's serving almost like an apprenticeship at Rangers to come in. It's a big risk. Listen, there's nothing to suggest that Steven Gerrard is going to be a world-class manager. We don't know that yet. He's done well at Rangers to an extent, but they're still an inconsistent team in a very up-and-down league. He's done all right so far in the Europa League as well. But listen, If Jurgen Klopp walked tomorrow, I'd be amazed if Steven Gerrard wasn't next in. Mm-hmm. But it isn't the slam dunk thing that is, you know, I mean, it's kind of just accepted that, isn't it? Like, we could be the best team, touch wood, when Klopp goes, in the world, and yet we're going to be bringing our fella in who used to play for us and now has managed Rangers. From the outside looking in, I don't think everyone would be like, are we sure? Like, are we sure we're not going to go and get Max Allegri, or are we not going to go and get, you know, the big names of Europe? We're going to go back to a lad who, listen, he could be the next Pep Guardiola, but he could be the next Graeme Souness. We just don't know what Steven Gerrard is yet. So as and when that time comes, whether it's 2, 3, 4 years, it's going to be a risk.
I think they'll be looking at Lampard at Chelsea. I think they'll be looking at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Manchester United and seeing what those things are doing, I mean, and how they've panned out and stuff, isn't it? Because, you know, off the top of my head, I like Tuchel, I like Nagelsmann, I like those types of manager, and they're the ones who seem to be very progressive. And I'm not saying Steven isn't, and Steven, obviously, the club means the world to him, and I'm sure he'd fight tooth and nail to keep it on its perch. But yeah,
we don't know
it's
what
it is, do we? No, not at all. So Liverpool set up point, Porto coach Vita Matos, smooth path from the academy to the first team. Now, this is the developmental role that Pep Linders used to fill, so in charge really of making sure that the young kids are ready when they are called upon to the first team. It's a position that hasn't been filled since Pep Landers was moved up to a proper assistant manager's position. It was supposed to have gone through last Thursday, but doesn't look like it's quite gone through yet today. A position that I believe will become even more important when Kirby and everything is sorted and the players are all going to be there.
Yeah, it is an important role, isn't it? I'd go flip and say it's probably more important now.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Because Klopp doesn't know what's going on down the road. He's in West Derby and the younger players are in Kirby, but the link between academy and first team has to be so crucial. And if it is just the case of one person who's just relaying bits of information back and forward, advising Klopp on, you know, keep an eye out on this lad, he's 15, but wow, you know, those kind of things. And also going back the other way, he needs to make sure that the academy implementing what Jürgen wants.
Yes.
There's no point then producing players who can't play for the first team.
I'd because we need the profile of Liverpool's players right now is set, isn't it? And someone needs to be there.
So why you could easily go back to them and go, why are you playing that big lad up front on, you know, hoofing ball? We don't want that. We want this. So it's a back and forth. It's a really important job.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I don't know much about the guy, but hopefully it goes well.
One more news story before we get to the comments. If you've got any thoughts on any of the stories that we've spoken about so far, please get them in. The Kiravea story, Red Bull, Power of Anfield, that type of stuff, the Haaland injury. Get your comments in now and Sile looks to get something to us. Liverpool to play at Qatar 2022 World Cup venue in December in the World Club Cup semi-final. Liverpool set to play a brand new 2022 World Cup venue when they compete in the Club World Cup in Qatar in December. We'll start in a 40,000 capacity Education City Stadium in Doha. The venue, which is to be tested as work intensifies ahead of Qatar 2022, will host the third place playoff and the final. Nothing can possibly go wrong with this, surely.
It's crazy. It hasn't been built yet and we've got fixtures going into it. Yeah, it's bizarre, but listen, the fact that place is getting the World Cup in the first place is quite bizarre. Mm. This is almost like the Club World Cup, are they using Qatar to test it out ahead of the World Cup? Kind of, you get that sense, don't you? So, yeah, it's an interesting one. December's going to be absolutely crazy for Liverpool. There's going to be lots of flying, lots of games, you're going to be chocker.
Get your points in now, though, as far as the team are concerned.
Stack them now.
Points as fast as you possibly can.
Yeah, stack them now and hope that you can make. Listen, it's two games, it's not the end of the world, but it is still a bit of a distraction, like you say. Who knows, come November time, who knows where that ground's going to be at, like what's going to be the situation. It isn't ideal, I don't think.
Mm.
But it's the chance to call yourself the best team in the world. Got to go and take it, got to go and win it.
Yeah, unlike American sports where they just win their league and announce themselves world champions. Yeah. Go figure. Anyway, still sports that I love, if I'm honest. Just have a problem with how they call themselves world champions when they're not. So let's get into some of the comments.
Sorry, before
then.
You say that, are we saying that we should make like the New England Patriots play like the London Monarchs to see who's going to win the title, because I know who's going to win. I'll be honest, I've got money on that already, so maybe they can. They're just presuming.
No,
all right.
No, so. They're not world champions.
You have to go and beat.
They basically just won the MLS Cup. That's all they've done. They've got two leagues. They've decided that the winners of that and then named the world champions. They've not even invited anybody else to play them.
At least
what about the Canadian Football League?
Again, I'll back them. I know who my money's on. Fair enough, yeah. Maybe they should have a little round robin themselves, yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's get into some of the comments then, please, mate.
Yeah, we've got a few. There's a bit of a discussion going on about the Carabao Cup, whether it would be a good thing if we did get kicked out of it. So we've got Den says we need the Carabao for the young players, or we'll have more like Bobby Duncan. And Daniel Leyland says, I hope we stay in the Carabao Cup. I want to see more of the young lads. I want to see more of Adrian after Alisson returns from injury. But then I need to eat the bacon says, we're best off out of the Carabao Cup. We need to concentrate on the league and the Champions League.
I don't know where you stand, Steve, but I think we need the Carabao Cup this season.
I just want to see Harvey Elliott again. Just stick us in the keeper in it. He's right on the Bobby Duncan one's a good point. You can feed these young lads 3, 4, 5 first team games just by playing if you get decent draws. Even if you don't, there's nothing to stop them picking the kids against Arsenal, for example. So it becomes an issue maybe when the semi-finals are about and you've got to see where you go, but you can't want not to be in it. I think you've got, again, what I don't want Jürgen to do is pick the first team players in it.
Mm.
So as long as he keeps picking the similar team that he picked in Milton Keynes, let them live and die by their own sword. If they win, sound lads, you get another go. If you lose, well, it's your own fault, you should have won the game.
Four of the last six winners of the Carabao Cup, or whatever it's called, the League Cup, have gone on to win the Premier League as well. So there's something in that, I'm sure. obviously disregard that if we get knocked out by Arsenal. It's not all based on that, because two of the last six didn't. So there you go. But no, for me, Steve, I think the interesting thing is, you know, it's not just about the youth, it's about the other squad players. I mean, it's the likes of, you know, obviously Shaqiri missed last week.
Joey Gomez.
That would have been a good game. Joe Gomez, Adam Lallana. These lads who need first-team football, yeah. James Milner, in case of an injury.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at, and I've said this for a few months now, going back into last season, when you look at Manchester City's squad, the reason that I believe that they're able to offer, apart from the fact that they've got loads of money and get good players through the door to sit on the bench, is because they're going deep in all domestic competitions. When you go deep, you can guarantee games to people. So I think it's harder for Liverpool to get a bigger squad. And listen, Klopp likes a small squad as well, so I understand that. But I do think you need to be able to offer them another 5 or 10 games a season across the Carabao and the FA Cup to keep them interested and keep them going
and
forward.
Fit.
Yeah, match that's fit. The main thing.
It's going to be at some point Liverpool might have two injuries, and all of a sudden you're relying on X players to go in.
Who hasn't played for... Well, Lovren hadn't played this season.
Yeah.
And, you know, he looked rusty because of it. You don't want him playing like he did
a suspension and an injury away from Daniel Lovren playing 3 games in the Premier League.
Yeah.
You've got to keep these lads at least just ticking over and keep them sane. The last thing they want is just training and bench, training and sitting in the stands. It's bit in mind. You know, that's when you start getting fractions in the squad. So I think we need to stay in it. I don't want any first team. Like, the team, they can have a rest every Wednesday or Tuesday.
Absolutely. Okay, one more, mate.
An interesting one, I'd say we haven't got too much time, but John Mallon says we should rotate for Salisbury because we have Leicester at home just 3 days after we were in good form. What do you think?
I don't know about rotating for Salisbury. If there's a time to, it probably is after the fact that these lads played last week, a lot of them. But when we're talking rotate, I mean, we're not talking kids for a start. You might be talking Divock Origi. And you might be talking James Milner.
Yeah, again.
Keita, maybe. But even then, after only getting 60 and not being on the bench, he wasn't on the bench at the weekend, was he, Keita? It's probably a tough ask for him. I wouldn't personally, because it's the international break after Leicester, and I think that's where hopefully you can get a bit of a rest.
He's never rested. He's very rarely rested Champions League. But, you know, especially at home, I think he sees it as win our home games and then we can see where we are. Again, you could get to post-Genk and you see where the group, Napoli and Salzburg, could have had 2 draws. And all of a sudden you're sitting there, you're sitting pretty, aren't you? So
with a fixture in December that you can rest players for?
I don't think he will. I don't think he should. I think you can rotate the midfield where the options are similar.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, again, the back four and the front three, I'd be amazed if he did anything different than the norm.
Yeah, okay, well, there we go. Thank you very much for your comments. Don't forget to check out The Athletic. That link is www.theathletic.co.uk/redmenus. You'll get 50% off your yearly subscription and get down to about £2.50 per month. We'll leave a link in the description and the pinned comments. Steve, thank you very much for joining me. Si, thank you very much for the comments. And you guys, thank you for being involved, typing in your comments, leaving us your thoughts. It's been an absolute pleasure once again. We'll see you on Red Men News tomorrow. Ta-ra.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.